Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
So it's August. That means, among other things, that football is almost back, which is great news for many of us, perhaps not so great news for others of us if you don't like football or if your team is in a bad place. But the return of football means the return of locker room celebration videos. I don't know if it was last season specifically or if it happened in the more recent years, but it seems like these videos have become more popular. And the script is usually similar. The head coach comes in and will speak to the players. He may shout out a few important stats or highlights from the game. He may give a game ball to one of the players while their teammates cheer them on. And then at the end, one of the players, usually one of the most prominent players on the team, will gather everyone together to break them down. And they may do this using the team's name, maybe a mantra the team has, but a very common way you'll see teams break down is by saying family. And this is what the Panthers do. Derrick Brown, if you've seen these videos, the big all-pro defensive tackle, he'll bring everyone in, and at the end, he'll say family on three. And it's not only football teams who do this. It's a common phenomenon for sports teams of any kind to talk about themselves this way as family, and other types of groups too. Businesses, organizations also. And for a team or business or organization to call themselves family, the idea is to communicate their closeness. The idea is we're more than a group of people working towards a common goal together. We also care about each other. We stick together. We have each other's backs like a family. Now, you're not a family if you don't perform well on a team or in a business. You can get fired. You're not connected in the same way you are with your real family members, so it's not the same. And in that way, maybe it can be misleading and not always helpful. But the heart behind it, I think, is mostly a good one, to say what we're doing, the mission we're going after, we want to do it together with the love and trust of a family. Well, while sports teams and organizations of different kinds aspire to be like a family, in the book of Proverbs, God tells us our families are meant to be like a team. Here's what I mean. If you examine the way Proverbs talks about family, you see that family is not only meant to be a place where you experience love and trust and connection, though you should get that in your family. But you also see God's vision that you would be going somewhere as a family, that you would be going after something, and that is wisdom. You see, God views the family as a central place for training and growing in wisdom. Martin Luther, when he got married in his 40s and started having children, called family life the school of character. Roland Bainton, one of his biographers, summarized how Luther came to see it. He says, "In this sense, the family displaces the monastery, which had been regarded by the church as the training ground of virtue and the surest way to heaven. Luther, in rejecting all earning of salvation, did not exclude exercise in fortitude, patience, charity, and humility." He says, "Family life is exacting." And all the people of God said, "Amen." Family life is hard. We know that. However you want to slice it, as a child growing up in a family, as a parent trying to raise children, it is hard. It is exacting. Yet it's in that difficulty that God uses it as one of the primary vehicles to grow us in wisdom. And so what a good place to end our study of wisdom this summer. And let's do it by focusing on two important things we see that happen in the context of family. There's training in wisdom, and there's growing in wisdom. Those two things, training, primarily thinking parents to children, and growing children to parents. In whatever stage of family life you're in today, there's something here for everyone. And so let's start with this first point, training in wisdom, parents to children. And I know we're not all parents in the room, and I know we have parents here in very different life stages. Perhaps some of you have already raised your children and they're adults now. That's a very different stage from the stage I'm in with three kids, 7 years old and younger, with a fourth one coming in October. Just a quick plug to pray for us. And we do have a lot of young kids here, which is awesome, but we also have a mix. So let's just look generally at what Proverbs has to say about being a parent. And it says the role of a parent is training. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is what parents are called to do. Train your kids in the way they should go. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, some of the surrounding verses in Proverbs 22 help fill it out. Just before this, in verses 4 and 5, we see the goal, the destination of our training. There it says, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will keep far from them. The goal is humility and fear of the Lord. And it says something about riches and honor and life, and this is what the Proverbs do. They tell you how things normally work, not how they always work in every situation, but how they work as a general rule. And Proverbs suggests in different places, when you are a humble person and when you do fear the Lord, good things can follow, but that's not the goal. Proverbs says that's an outcome you can generally expect, but what is the goal? What is the way you should train your child to go in, like it says in verse 6, the way of humility and fearing the Lord? And we need to let that sink in for a second. The goal as a parent isn't to raise children who become the smartest kid in class, the best athlete in the area, or the most interesting and well-rounded out of all their peers. We should help our kids discover what they like. It's good for us to help them succeed and do well in those things, of course, but that's not the main thing we're after. And that's challenging when that's so much of the pressure you can feel as a parent these days. I know I've felt so much more of this pressure myself as our kids get older, but Proverbs says, here's the destination. Not success and accomplishment for our kids, and let's be honest, success and accomplishment for ourselves through them, but humility and the fear of the Lord, which, remember, we've talked about, means trust, submission, making God the center of your life. That's where our training is heading, to have our children know and love and trust the Lord and live humble lives before Him and others. That's where we're going, but how do we get there? Well, two categories we find, and let me underline, I'm not a parenting expert, and this isn't everything there is to say about parenting. It's such a big topic. I'm just trying to give you some of the main points here from Proverbs. And there are two big categories Proverbs say that we need to be prayerful and thoughtful about applying to our own kids and situations, but here they are, these two things: discipline and delight. Starting with discipline, look at Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Any kind of training you do requires discipline. And that's certainly true for parenting. And you see the reason here in the first part of the verse. It says, folly is bound up in the heart of the child. Children aren't born wise. Like, just like you and me aren't born wise, I mean, you know that. If you know yourself, and yes, our kids are innocent and they're sweet and pure in ways we aren't, especially when they're young and haven't been exposed to as much of life in the world, but they're sinners like we are. They need discipline. And don't let the rod throw you off. A literal rod was used to punish criminals in ancient society, and it became a symbol for authority and discipline. And because of the sinful misuse of physical forms of discipline, faithful Christians have differing opinions about using that kind of thing today. But the point is, as a parent, you have to do discipline. You have to figure out what works for you, and you have to do it. Your kids need it. And discipline is directly connected to the second category of delight. And we'll come back to these verses, but look at Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. And the focus of those verses is the Lord's discipline. Put a pin in that. But notice the logic. Don't despise the Lord's discipline because he disciplines the one he loves, just like or in the same way as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. Do you see that? The logic is that a father who delights in his son will discipline him. Therefore, the father who doesn't do discipline, who doesn't discipline his children, does not delight in them. And just so you know that I need to hear what I'm preaching, I'll share, this has been hard for me as a dad. I've been pretty good at doing something goofy to make our kids laugh or to comfort them when they're struggling or when they're sad or when they get hurt, what you may naturally connect with delight, but discipline has been tough. There have been many times when I've hung back and not engaged when I knew I should, and I've waited on Sarah to take the lead. At the dinner table after a long day, I'm tired. Something happens that I see that needs to be addressed, but I choose to downplay it or ignore it because I simply don't want to engage and put the effort in. I don't want to deal with it. But this is the point that's been so convicting for me. That's not me, you know, delighting in my kids and choosing to show them grace. That's me delighting in my own comfort. That's me not loving my kids enough. See, our kids need our love and delight, but along with it and coming from it, they need our discipline and strength. And Dan Allender, who's a writer and longtime counselor, is excellent here. In his book, How Children Raise Parents, he brings together these two categories in the form of two questions. Two questions, he says, every child is asking in their heart from the day they are born. Number one, am I loved? And number two, can I get my own way? Am I loved? That's the delight question. The mercy question. Do you love me? Do you delight in me? Do you see me and understand me? Can I get my own way? Is the discipline question. It's the strength question. Can I trust you? Am I really safe with you? Are you strong enough to protect me when I need it? When you and I are parenting wisely, we answer yes to the first question and no to the second question. Am I loved? Yes, absolutely, beyond what you can even believe. Can I get my own way? No. Absolutely not, precisely because I love you more than you can even believe. Allender says, quote, as a parent, I am called to answer both of these questions, not only accurately and continuously, but also simultaneously. Therefore, he says, parenting is not difficult, it is impossible. Cheer up. But I hope that helps. If you're feeling overwhelmed today, If you're feeling like I'm such a failure, I'm doing a terrible job as a parent. Sarah and I had this moment sometime back in the spring. I don't even remember what we were doing, but we were exhausted. I'm sure feeling our failure to answer both of these questions in the right way. And we just looked at each other and said, parenting is so humbling. Right? Parenting is so humbling. It's so hard. And we're just in the early stages where it's mostly just hard physically. When God calls you and me into parenting, he does call us into something impossible. He doesn't call us to be perfect. Yet, with discipline and delight, he invites us to do our best to train our kids in the way of wisdom. Training in wisdom. Now let's flip it and let's think about growing in wisdom. So kids in the room, it's your turn. But not only kids at home, you know, many of us here are adult children, right? And that changes the dynamic of the parent-child relationship. But let's do the same thing and try to uncover the basic ideas for children relating to parents. And Proverbs 23, 22 through 26 gets at the heart of it when it says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." And so two categories for parents to hold on to. Now two categories for children to hold on to. Listen and honor. As kids, you listen to your parents and you honor your parents. Listen to your parents. Verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life." And I wonder if you remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks back, when we were talking about making wise decisions. But we said one of the biggest attributes for someone who is wise, according to everything Proverbs says, is being someone who listens to the advice of others. And on the other hand, one of the biggest attributes for someone who is a fool is being someone who doesn't listen to the advice of others. That's a hallmark of foolishness, thinking I know what's best for me, I thinking you know it already. That's a danger when you're a kid. And look, I get it. I remember what it was like. It's not always easy to want to listen to your parents, and sometimes our parents can feel to us like Mr. Wheeler from Stranger Things. If you know what I'm talking about, Nancy, Mike, and Holly's dad, until a monster literally comes into his house, the most clueless parent ever. I read something online that said about him, while his kids are in a sci-fi drama about monsters and physics, he thinks he's in a family sitcom about a dad who doesn't like it when his kids swear. But maybe it feels like that to you sometimes. Like, my parents don't understand, they don't get me, my life at all. They don't know what's going on, and they may not understand everything, and they may not always get you the way you want them to. But Proverbs says you need to listen to your parents. You're called to trust that they're trying to do what we just talked about. They're trying to love you, and they're trying to do their best to train you in wisdom. That's the assumption Proverbs makes. That's at least what they're trying to do. And even if it's imperfect and flawed, they have something to offer that you need. In Ephesians 6, Paul clarifies that you obey your parents in the Lord. And so if your parents are not in the Lord, meaning if they're not Christians, that does make it different than what Proverbs is saying. And for those of us who are adult children, our parents aren't actively meant to be training us in the same way as when we were kids, so that looks different too. But we can still, I think, find ways to try to listen and respect their words, even if they don't carry quite the same weight they used to. And that then brings us to honor, the second category. The end of verse 22 says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." And the opposite of to despise is to honor. And this is the fifth of the Ten Commandments that God gives us in the book of Exodus and in Deuteronomy, to honor your father and mother. And you can do that whatever age you are. whatever season of life you're in, even if your parents aren't Christians and they don't have biblical wisdom to pass down, it simply means to respect them. Don't make fun of them. Though it is important to name what's true about your parents and what it was like growing up in their home as a kid, don't pick them apart and blame all of your problems on them. Positively, if you can, find ways to celebrate them. Find ways to affirm what they've done for you, what they taught you, sacrifices they made for you. And if you have parents who do know Jesus, you can honor them by watching them and imitating them. Verse 26 says, "My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways." Imitation is one of the greatest forms of honor and respect. As much as you're able, watch and imitate your parents as they walk in the way of wisdom. See what they do as they follow Jesus and do the same thing. As you do, you'll make your parents glad, verses 24 and 25. They'll rejoice. They'll be glad as they see you doing these things and growing in wisdom. So training in wisdom, parents to children. Growing in wisdom, children to parents. That's what Proverbs lays out. But before we close and attempt to go and do likewise, let me circle the runway like this. We said parenting is impossible. That's what Dan Allender says. Parenting is not difficult, it's impossible, and that checks out. Well, if that's true, by necessary implication, that means as a child, you're going to have imperfect parents. And you're going to struggle with your own stuff to listen to them and to honor them. And so let me end here. Yes, parents are called to train in wisdom. Yes, God sets up the family this way for us as children to learn from our parents and grow in wisdom. But here's the greater reality. And this is where it's similar to marriage last week. God is using these parent-child relationships to teach us about our relationship with Him. You see, we're actually all children. And I said we were going to come back to Proverbs 3, so let's go there again. We talked about what it means for us as parents. We need to delight in our kids and yet be willing to discipline them because of the love we have for them. But if you look at the text, that's not actually the main point of the text. It's not about our discipline and delight. It's about God's. Look again, Proverbs 3:11. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." It turns out you and me are all asking those two questions all of our life, not just when we're kids growing up at home. We all want to know, am I loved? And we all want to know, can I get my own way? We all want to know that someone delights in us even as we stumble our way through life, and we all want to know that someone is strong enough to protect us and keep us safe as we do. And there's no earthly person, there's no earthly parent who can give that to us to the degree we need it. There's only one person who can, our Father in heaven. Our Father who sent his own beloved Son into the world. And though he was a faultless child who always listened and honored his Father, he went to an ending where he lost the love he had always known. An ending where his Father didn't use his strength to protect him like he always had, as he let him descend into the darkness of sin and judgment as he went to the cross. But when he rose from the grave just a few days later, he rose as the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, bringing you and I, who put our faith in him, into the family we've always dreamed of. Reconnecting us with a parent, with a father who gives us exactly what we need. As Allender says, one who responds to the deep questions of our soul, saying, yes, you are more loved than you can ever fathom. And no, you can't have your own way, but as you pursue my way, you will find the deepest satisfaction your heart can ever know. This is where our family relationships take you and me. Deep, into the true family relationship we have with God and therefore with one another. Because that's what this whole thing called the church is. It's a family, and it's not like a family, like the sports teams and businesses who call themselves a family or who break down on family. The church is a family. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our older brother. As we're united to him by the Holy Spirit, we together are the family of God. And so as a parent, this means what you're trying to do is impossible, and it's supposed to be. You're doing your best to cast a shadow for your kids of what it's like to be loved and led by God. So you actually can cheer up. And you can learn, man, I can learn how to parent out of your weakness. We can try to do all the things we talked about, but as we do, we can invite our kids into our own need for God's strength and mercy. We can train them, we can teach them, but a big part of that can become us saying to them, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Hey, I'm really sorry for all the pressure I'm putting on you to succeed. That's coming from all this stuff in me. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? Hey, I'm sorry I got too angry when I was disciplining you. I kind of lost my control. Will you forgive me for that? I'm sorry. I should have told you no, and I didn't. It opens a whole new path. As a child, it reminds you your parents are never meant to be everything you need. They are going to let you down. They're not going to understand everything. They haven't figured it all out. They are your parents, but they're your brothers and sisters too. So they need God's grace like you do. So you can listen to them and you can honor them even when it's hard, knowing you have a father that their good moments point you to and that their weak moments make you long for. And for all of us, it invites a broader way to look at this grand search for wisdom. Surely the family is a central place where it happens with parents and kids, but this is what we're doing in the church. As brothers and sisters together, we're all training and growing. We're all training each other. We're all pouring into each other, and we're all learning from one another. Right? And that's great news if you are a parent or if you are a child, because you're like, hey, I've got my family, but this is my family. Solomon says, wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. As we leave our study on wisdom this summer, may you and I have joy, and may we have hope that we don't have to go at it alone. Wisdom is a team effort. We get to go after it together as a family. God's family. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for our earthly families and the ways they point us to you, either in ways that they reflected you or in ways that they made us long for something better. I pray for all of us who, we're all part of families, so I pray for all of us, Lord, that wherever we are, you'd help us to grow and loving and caring for our families well. But I thank you even more than that you have given us this great family where Jesus is our brother. Lord, where you are our Father, and by the Spirit, we're getting to grow into this new reality for ourselves more and more day by day. Would you help us to do that? We thank you for all the wisdom we've been able to learn through the book of Proverbs, and ask that you would make this a place where we continue to learn it together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.